So the easy way to get out of it is by arresting him for not accepting the slave name, but that's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, I know the world's bloody mad, but there's just another example of it, really. You've got a judge who's looking at a human being, but won't accept the human being's there because the human being won't accept that they are a fictitious corporation created in their name without their knowledge. And then gets the police to arrest the person standing in front of them for not being there. I mean, it's insane, but this is how you can tie them in knots once you operate as a living, breathing man and woman. And of course, the man was standing in a dock, which is relevant, isn't it, to the law of the sea?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, the system that they operate is a maritime system. We refer to, obviously, the distinction between the two types, the corporate side, the corporate structure, which is maritime law, and the common law one. Now,
and it's a way that we can free ourselves from it. So I had a chat with John Smith of commonlawcourt.com about the detail of all this, and it's not complicated, and how the people can take the world back. So this is how it went. Well, with me is John Smith from the Common Law Court website, who's made himself an expert in common law and all this statute law that we're conned by. And I want to talk to you later, John, about how you got into this and your background, so people have got that. But I want to cut straight to the chase. Common law and the law that comes out of governments, what's the difference?
In a nutshell, simply put, common law is relates to living men and living women. Believe it or not, this is many of your listeners or viewers will not have actually established their position as a living man or woman. If you ask the individual for identification or to prove who they are, they will pass on various documents to you, a bank card, a driving license, a passport. Unfortunately, all these pieces of identification are for a legal fiction. They're not for a living man, and there is a distinction between both. Now, common law relates to this basic principles of cause no harm, cause no loss, cause no injury, and ensure that you're honourable in your contractual dealings. That's it in a nutshell. Statutory law and the law of the government, they operate under a maritime system, and basically it says they have laws, statute, acts, which are effectively not laws. They'll only become law if the people consent to them. If you do not consent, they're only rules and regulations, but they are applicable to the legal identity, the person. And when they relate to the legal system, that's the government system, they refer to the term legal. Now, under common law, when you actually operate in everyday life under common law, we only use the term lawful. Legal is obviously a statutory term, and it relates to the person. It's got nothing to do with a living man or woman. So there is two distinctions. Legal for the statutory system in government, lawful for men and women. And again, the distinction is under common law, we only deal with living men and women. And under the statutory law, they cannot deal with living men and women. They can only deal with the idea of the fiction, which is literally a contractual agreement.
Okay, so if they're operating with statute law, which is the law of contracts, maritime trading law, basically, that means they have to create corporations to contract with each other. So what a surprise that it turns out that governments, government agencies, police forces, courts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are corporations. That would stagger people who have never come across this.
Believe it or not, I actually spoke to a judge earlier on this week, outside the courts, believe it or not. I was introduced to a judge who I spoke to, and they've been in the system for 20 years. They did not know that the court they were based in was actually a registered company. they actually believe that they are there to provide justice. Now, we can confirm every court, this is, we're based in the UK just now, but it's applicable worldwide. Every court within the statutory system is a registered company. They're actually there for profit and they're not there for justice. Justice does not exist in their system. It's all contractual deals, contractual agreements, and it's based on money. And again, they're also using that to detain the people and obviously keep them in order and obviously keep them in their houses. So they use this legislation when it suits them to control the people. Unfortunately, the people don't know that. Now, the same also applies to the police. The police, believe it or not, are also registered companies. They're not there to protect the public. They are actually officers. Previously, years ago, decades ago, you used to see the bobby on the beat. The bobby on the beat was known as a constable, which is fine. They were there to protect or prevent a breach of the peace. That's changed now. You don't have constables. You actually have officers. They're enforcement officers. They're there to collect money, to charge you, penalise you. We've seen with this lockdown and even traffic offences, they're there to collect money. It's all about profit. And as I says, we no longer have a police force. It's all corporations. The same are applicable to the judges, the courts, the government. The government, believe it or not, even the House of Commons, they're all registered companies. It's nothing to do with men and women. We don't have men and women in Parliament. We have corporations.
So you need to create all these entities as corporations because you're dealing with corporate law. But then you, to apply that law, you have to make contract with the population and the individuals of the population. So you have to somehow make them a corporate entity. How do they do that?
Well, just to clarify, a few hundred years ago, slavery was supposed to be abolished. William Wilberforce had went before Parliament to put forward annually a bill for abolition of slavery. Now, eventually, when it was passed and they effectively says to the slave community, you are no longer slaves. What we're going to do now is you're now going to join our new society. We're going to give you privileges because you're part of society now. You're no longer a slave. What they've actually done has been really clever. Because instead of actually holding these people, a small group of minority people in slavery, they decided to enslave everyone. So they've actually taken this group, this is it tended to be its colours in the past, they've taken them, added them to community, they've taken all the people together and said, right, you are now a citizen in our new community. So basically you become a citizen of the UK or America or wherever it is. But in doing so, what they're doing is creating a corporation for you. But when they do that, you're then bound to their rules. Their rules apply and the privileges they give you out were rights that you were entitled to anyway. However, they now charge you for the privilege. Now, to establish the position, when people are actually born in this country to keep this perpetuating, what they've done is they've said to the parents when they have a child, the parents must register the birth of a child. Now, it's not compulsory, but if you do not register your child, they will fine you. I think it's up to £1,000. So they basically push this issue. Now, when you actually record your birth for a child, what you're actually doing is giving consent to the government, and the government set up a legal fiction for the child. Now, in my case, obviously my name is John Smith, but I have a legal fiction attached to me, which is Mr. John Smith. And that was created by the government at birth. So therefore the government throughout my life will only deal with me as a contractual agreement and a legal title. They do not deal with a living man. But what happened is when the government set this up, if we look at the basic principles, there was a child involved, the parents were involved, and the state were involved. So if we look at this issue and we use the statutory system, what it actually confirms if there's a contractual agreement, because they've asked you to sign or submit a birth certificate, but it involves three different parties. So therefore, according to their rules, it is a contractual agreement. Now, if we take it that there's a contract there, again, the state rules stipulate that for a contract to be valid, there has to be various terms met. Now, again, we don't have to bother with all the terms. If you pick the simplest one out of the lot, was there full disclosure? Which simply means, were you ever informed that a legal entity was created for you at birth? Well, no, nobody was. Were your parents informed? No, they weren't. So therefore, on these grounds, it states that because there's no full disclosure, the contract is void. Now, if the contract's void, it means what we have now is a legal fiction floating about there, because it's on your bank cards, driving licenses, passport, but the fiction exists. The government use it in everyday life to penalise, punish you, or in their words, they provide privileges. But it's only done through this fiction, which they control. But we've already established through their own rules that the creation of the fiction was fraudulent. So what we do is we've confirmed with the setup of the Common Law Court, we've managed to set up a system whereby people can actually, by submitting a declaration, confirm in fact that they're living men or women, and having established this position, what they can then do is claim ownership of this legal title. It exists. If you go to a cash line machine with a card, you put your card into the machine, you want money out. If you do not have the fiction, you cannot get the money out. So the fiction does exist. But what we do with the Common Law Court is we ensure that the people are protected from attack and abuse by using the fiction. So if we establish the government do not have control because it was created fraudulently, the individual living men and women can actually apply for ownership. And by submitting an application online and declaring their position, they are then granted ownership of this fiction, which means by claiming that, the government now have no control and no authority over you. So in relation to issues which we have currently just now with this COVID legislation, it is not applicable to the living man or woman. And it would normally be applicable to a fiction, but if you own the fiction and the legal title, without your consent, they cannot enforce it. So that's a difference. It was all created at birth, and it was a deception created by the government. It's probably the world's biggest scam.
They said,
but they've done that and the people aren't aware of it. But until the people realise that the system operates and effectively, you are actually still in slavery unless you confirm your position standing under common law. He says, all they've did is they've turned around and says, well, look, we're going to abolish slavery. But they didn't. They were actually clever. What they did is instead of having a small group, they decided to enslave everyone. And that's the way it works.
So to summarise, they introduced this statute law, this corporate law, to override common law. They obviously marginalised common law. And I don't talk about that. No, it's not important. But because their law needs contracts to operate, they create entities like governments that are corporations. They then create this fictional entity corporation in our name using prefixes like Mr. And also, I think the letters of your name in all capitals is very relevant. And what they do then is they trick us into believing that the fictional entity, which is the only one they have any control over, and the living, breathing man and woman are the same thing.
I'll clarify a point here, which hopefully your viewers will see, especially the older ones. To clarify this point, if we go back to, I think it was the 70s, there was actually a television programme on the screens. It was a series called Roots. Now, it actually involved slaves, the story of slavery. But the key individual in the story was named Kunta Kinte. And what happened is this African was taken over to America and was sold into slavery. Now, when that had been the case, he was taken to a plantation and the charge hand on behalf of the owner then had to explain to the slaves what was happening and he renamed them. So in the case of Kunta Kinte, the charge hand had stated to him, your name is now Toby. But the slave had said, no, my name is Kunta Kinte. He wouldn't accept it. So what the charge hand done is they took him, strapped him up, tied him up, and they actually whipped him, they lashed him, and every so often they would say, "What is your name? Your name is Toby, tell me your name." But the slave kept stating, "My name is Kunda Kinte." Now this continued, and he was literally hanging there and just about dead. But eventually, when the charge hand says to him, "Tell me your name," the slave eventually gave up and says, "My name is Toby." Now, as soon as he accepted that name, he then became a slave. It means that he's then bound into slavery to the owner, and also the rules for the owner apply. Now, this is happening every day in this country or throughout the world. What they're doing is they're actually taking the slave name and attaching it to you. Now, in my case, when they go to any court in this country, when you go in, you can identify yourself or you're asked to do so. If you give your name as a living man or a living woman, and you actually express that you're a living man or woman, the courts can't deal with you. In fact, they will actually get abrupt, pushy, and fine you in contempt of court, which they can't. But they will say to you, "No, you need to confirm that you are Mr. John Smith." And if I say, "No, I'm John Smith, a living man," they say, "No, you will accept you are Mr. John Smith. You need to confirm that." Now, Mr. John Smith is the slave name. Now, they're actually clever with it, because unlike Kunta Kinte and Toby, it's two distinct. There's a distinction between the both, and it's easy to see. In relation to John Smith and Mr. John Smith, there's not much difference, and you think it's the same. But what they've done is, by changing the style of the text, the way it's written, and also adding a title, Mr. John Smith becomes a legal title. So if I accept Mr. John Smith, I then become the slave. If I stand as John Smith, a living man, I'm not a slave. Now, the courts will not accept that. But effectively, what they're doing every day in this country and every case in the courts in this country, they're binding the people into slavery, which is banned everywhere under any law that you want, including their statutory law in the United Nations. Slavery is banned in any and all forms, but the use of the fiction is binding the people into slavery. Now, the courts know that. They know what they're doing, but they need to put you into this position to accept the slave name so that they can contract with you, in which case they can then penalise you, charge you, fine you, and enforce legislation that they have, because it's all applicable to you.
Because you've contracted with them.
Yeah. Yes, because you've contracted and they've taken your implied consent, but you don't know what's actually happening. And this is a use of language. The language they use in court, it's a separate issue. But obviously what they're doing is they're using terminology to entrap you. And when they get the answer they want through your implied consent or tacit agreement, they actually then have established a contract, and they will then bind you into their system and their rules. And if you don't comply, they will then punish you.
Don't some judges say, when they're confronted with this, they say to the person, or not the person, we'll come to that in a second, the person is the corporate entity, say to the living, breathing man or woman, I can't hear you, I can't see you. Don't they actually say that?
They've said to me as well. excuse me. What they actually mean, it doesn't mean, if they say that I cannot see you, I cannot hear you, it doesn't mean they're actually blind or deaf. This is, although many are, it literally means that they cannot deal with you, because a judge is a corporation, is part of a registered company, and they cannot deal with living men and women. The only way that they can actually interact with anyone or adjudicate in the matter before them is by having some sort of joiner with them. Joiner means a contractual agreement, and for that, it can only be with the legal fiction, which is an entity. The legal entity, in my case, Mr. John Smith. Excuse me. If I actually turn around and say that my name is John Smith and that I'm a living man, they can't deal with me. So if you present this to the judge will actually say, "Look, I'm sorry, I cannot hear you, I cannot see you." And then they actually turn away. Now, what that means is they cannot speak to you, because they're not allowed to, because you're a living man. They cannot see you either. It says, so they cannot see you, cannot hear you. They can only deal with the fiction. And in my case, what they've actually turned around and done is said, "Look, I cannot see you, cannot hear you. I'm going to proceed. Now, when they say I'm going to proceed, they just ignore you, blank you completely, and they continue by referring to the legal fiction, Mr. John Smith in my case, and they just carry on and have a hearing without your involvement because you're a living man. They won't involve you and they'll just continue and prosecute you. We've actually had someone in court was actually taken away for a contempt of court, which they can't do. They took him for contempt of court and threw him in the cells because he would not accept the living man. Now, this individual had went to court and he was asked to identify himself. So he stated that he was a living man. The judge immediately jumped and he says, look, I need you to confirm you are Mr. So-and-so. He turned around and replied again, look, with respect, I am a living man. I've informed this court of my position. I'm here to deal with the issue before you, but I am a living man. The judge then turned around and says, look, I'm not having this. As far as I'm concerned, you will identify with this fiction, Mr. So-and-so. He says, if you fail to establish you're doing it, I'm going to issue a warrant. And the individual says, a warrant for what? He says, for your non-appearance. He says, but I'm standing here speaking to you. He says, I couldn't care less. I will issue a warrant for your non-appearance. I will ask you once and once only, can you confirm that you are Mr. So-and-so? And he said, no, I'm a living man. I'm here to deal with the issue before you. The judge turned around, he said, I'm going to adjourn this hearing for 10 minutes. He says, clerk of the court, inform everyone to come back in 10 minutes. And he turned to the police, he says, I'm now issuing a warrant for the arrest of Mr. So-and-so. Can you please deal with this issue? The judge walked out of court. The police immediately got onto radio and phoned for backup. And they called for 7 or 8 officers, who then came to the court to try and arrest this guy. The judge was having a conversation with him. He would not accept the position of the living man. And because this individual refused to take the slave name, Mr., the judge said it was unacceptable and had him arrested and charged just for refusing to accept a slave name. But that's what it was. You had to become part of their system. He had to gain contract, or what we call joinder. And if he didn't do that, the judge had no authority or jurisdiction over the living man, which he couldn't accept. They had to punish someone and they had to dismiss a case because the guy had a really good case. He says, but they didn't want to go into court. So protect big entities. And obviously, he says, big business. They actually decided they wanted rid of the case. And they then put pressure on this guy to accept the slave name in their system. Had he done so, they would have dismissed the case anyway. But because he stood as a living man, they would not allow the case to proceed. So the easy way to get out of it is by arresting him for not accepting the slave name. But that's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, I know the world's bloody mad, but there's just another example of it, really. You've got a judge who's looking at a human being but won't accept the human beings there because the human being won't accept that they are a fictitious corporation created in their name without their knowledge. And then gets the police to arrest the person standing in front of them for not being there. I mean, it's insane, but this is how you can tie them in knots once you operate as a living, breathing man and woman. And of course, The man was standing in a dock, which is relevant, isn't it, to the law of the sea?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, the system that they operate is a maritime system. We refer to, obviously, the distinction between the two types. The corporate side, the corporate structure, which is maritime law, and the common law one. Now, the common law you can use, it's applicable to everyone. This is our race, colour, religion. Because it adopts various names. It can be common law, it can be natural law, law of the land, universal law, the creator's law, even God's law. The same terms and conditions apply for each one. Now, in relation to maritime, they use different things as well, based on maritime and Roman law and things like that, but the terminology they use the same. It's all down to shipping. Hundreds of years ago, they had actually, the only laws they had effect between countries was the shipping maritime laws, because they actually traded with other countries. And because they had something set up there, they then tried to use this on the land and enforce it on the people. But what they did is they actually used the language through maritime law in everyday life. So, for example, you have something like a ship or a vessel. It says, we'll come into dock. Now it comes into dock, it says, which is obviously the dock you have in court as well. So you come in to answer, and obviously you come in to dock and berth in a quay. Now, when they berth, it says what they do is they come in, berth, and then they unload a cargo. Well, that is the terms that's used for delivering a child, because the mother will go into berth, and when she goes into berth, she will then obviously deliver a cargo. The cargo she delivers is the child, it's property, it's treated as cargo. And with the cargo, seemingly like the on a ship or a vessel, when they actually deliver a cargo, there's a manifest. So they actually draw up the manifest for the cargo and a note is taken. When a mother goes in to give birth, she goes into a birthing suite. She then delivers the cargo, which is a child. This property is delivered and it's treated as property. And then there's a birthing manifest. Well, that's a birth certificate. So the child becomes the property and it's all registered through the birthing manifest, which is the same as the shipping manifest. Is delivering a cargo. So they're delivering a cargo into the system. That's the way it works. You have other issues. This is everyday life. It's just a terminology. You have the banks. The banks use it. Now, if you look at the maritime laws, this is in relation to banks. Well, banks, you have banks on the river. It says also you have a water flow. You have a current. Current becomes currency, which is money. So to control the current, the currencies, you have the banks to prop them up at either side and keep an eye on things. Well, that's the same with the banking. They actually have, they've adopted the term bank, so they then restrict and control the flow of money in this case. So they use the same terms as if from maritime law in everyday life. And it's only when you actually find out about it and how they use it, you then understand how they work. But the distinction is if they're doing that, it's to know that this exists, to know that they operate it, and then it comes down to the basic principles. You have a choice. Is this acceptable? Do you wish to use it? Or do you wish to establish yourself as a living man? In which case you can claim this is common law or maritime law or even the law of the land. This is in the, why I mentioned that, the terminology for common law, it's applicable throughout. You've got common law, as we've said just now, it says you've got natural law, universal law, the creator's law, God's law. It is also the law of the land, which is the opposite of maritime law because it's for land dwellers, which takes you back to living men and women. So this is how it works. But there's a two distinctions here.
Okay, so what we're going to try to avoid then, obviously the terminology needs to be watched very carefully because the trickery is all over the place. Is to avoid making contracts with the corporations of law enforcement and governments, etc. What do we avoid, John? I mean, first of all, Mr., Mrs., these prefixes. I understand, I was told this years ago when I looked at this in America back in the 90s, uppercase letters for your name. And also person, never refer to yourself as a person, right?
You made an interesting comment as you were discussing that there. You said, look, I understand, and you were going up.
Yeah, I understand. That's another one.
Yeah, literally, it says when you're looking at things, there's certain phrases. Now, I learned something from an individual a number of years back early on. It was actually quite good, and it was something that your viewers should actually think about and listen. Now, we're not here as conspiracists. We're basically here to point to things and to ask them to think. Now, if we say to your viewers just now, look, if we use the English language, now we can use the English language, but for clarification, what we will do to obtain the meaning is we will go to a dictionary, take the Oxford Dictionary. So we'll go there and they have a list of all the words you use. Now, every so often they take out a new word, so they've just added to it, right? So if we have an English language, and we have the Oxford Dictionary, and we also add on new words occasionally, why is there a need for law dictionaries? We have loads and loads of law dictionaries, far more than the Oxford Dictionary, and there's new additions all the time. The reason for that is the words that we use and we refer to understand just now, which you mentioned, under the Oxford Dictionary, understand basically just means, do you comprehend something? Now, under the system that they use, under the legal system, the legal dictionaries, the language is called legalese. It's completely separate from English. The words are identical, but the meanings are different. Now, in relation to the word understand, whereas in everyday life to men and women, it means comprehend, do you comprehend? Under their system, when a police officer has asked you if you understand, if you actually say yes, you've actually then became a slave. Because what the legalese term states is if you're confronted by an officer, when they say, do you understand, it literally means in their terminology, do you stand under my authority? So therefore, if you say to the constable, yes, I understand, that allows them, it creates joined up, which is a contractual agreement. It then allows them to prosecute you with their rules and to fine you or punish you. If you turn around and say to them, well, no, I'm sorry, I don't understand, the reply will come back, what do you mean you don't understand? I've just explained, you've breached some act of parliament. They say, do you not understand? What you should do is turn around and say, no, I do not stand under your authority and I don't consent. Now, that keeps you out of their system because it confirms that you're a living man or living woman and you have nothing to do with them. They, therefore, cannot enforce the legislation. That's the way it works. But it's all about names. Now, the term you also refer to, the term person. Person is literally a legal entity. He says, so you don't use that. You are either a living man or woman, or obviously you can adopt the positions that they have within their system, and that comes down to things like legal entities, the person, and various other things. But these are all legal terms to give them authority. You will note that I've mentioned twice, I'll mention a couple of times, we'll do it again. The common law principles are basically cause no harm, loss or injury to others, and ensure your honourable and contractual dealings. That is common law in a nutshell. It could be God's law and universal law, everything. They're all the same. They operate under key principles, and these are the principles. That's it. Under their system, they have hundreds of statutes, acts of parliament, legislation, and they've just introduced COVID legislation. Wonderful, we've got new legislation. But the point is, they are all rules in the statutes and acts, but they're only applicable to a person. They're not applicable to living men and women. You will note when they look and they refer to in the write-up the legislation, they will refer it always to a person. The person does this, the person must do this. It's a legal entity. It's not applicable to living men and women. So therefore, that's it. So you don't use the terminology they've got and you can stay out of the system. But they don't like that because they use this camouflage, they use trickery and they use legalese to try to obviously entrap you and get joinder, which is create a contract. They've actually stacked in their system because a basic principle like your documentation, everything you have to identify yourself is in their system. It's to do with the person. So that gives them your disadvantage straight away because if you produce ID or they ask you for ID and you produce it, it gives the legal fiction. So if they confirm, is this you? And then you look at your bank account and say, yes, straight away, you've got joinder. So you have to be very careful with what you do. It's all about trickery and it's all about...
Whoa. People, this one goes deep. This goes to the core of our entire existence in this world. And what do we do? What do we do as sovereign beings? Do we abide by these frivolous laws and rules? Or do we proclaim or reclaim or just take our power back? Take our power. Live our truth. Like, why are these evil bastards in charge of us? Why are they still in charge of us? Evil, evil creatures that call themselves humans. Why are they still in control? Why are they dictating laws? Why are they the ones we're looking to for some form of answer, some form of solutions? And I don't see a lot of people, so-called truthers, alternative thinkers, people seeking the searching party. The searching party people. I don't see a lot of people talking about this. And this goes to the core people of governments. So, unless you know this and unless you understand these levels, you won't begin to start even scratching the surface of quote unquote truth. Very, very enlightening interview, people. And based on the reactions, people are saying, yeah, indeed, people, indeed, this is, wow, very eye-opening. Most of these things I wasn't aware of. I came across some of it, just like surface level, but this goes deep, 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 deep. And yeah, oh, this open eyes as open mind. Very, very light. And yes, people, it's a poetry. Poetry is loading. And the reason why I split up this, because people, why are you splitting up? Because we know the attention span of humans nowadays. And I look at the video duration, people watch like 10 minutes. Some of the long videos, they'll watch 10 minutes, 13 minutes. So I said, hey, it don't make sense. I make a hour video and people watching on 10 minutes. So I split it off. Not really half, but three quarters. So, our next one, 40 minutes left. So, we'll go even deeper, people. We'll go even deeper, and I want people to process this, because a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, a lot of things for you to figure out, search for yourself. Is that the information to other people? So, I'm not going to bombard people with a hour, when I know most people won't watch an hour. They'll rather watch 15 minutes or 20 minutes out of a 30-minute video. It's just the facts. It's just the facts. It's just the reality, people. So, hey, here we go.